This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're booking your next vacation, make sure to go to their websites. Go to neverland.com. Get with a magic maker. They'll make sure you have all the quotes you need. You'll look at some quotes, look at some options. They're really quick, easy to deal with, and you can be a part of them and really, you know, make your vacation awesome by using someone who's an expert at it. You know, as Will likes to say, but he's not here.
All you got to do is pack.
That's what Terry says. All you got to do is pack. And again, their website's go to neverland.com. Awesome people. Been great to deal with us, our travel partner this year, and we couldn't be more pleased to have them on board with WDW Today. Make sure, don't Google it, don't search it, use that website. It's go to neverland.com, because that's a specific URL that says you heard about it right here on WDW Today. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios. Featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, July 27th. This is episode 1522 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And Will is out today working the day job, which is part of our day job, but there's a different part of the day job that took up some time. So Will, he may pop in for listener questions, but he is out right now, unfortunately. But we're going to be taking a topic that legitimately just came in via email. We were talking about where we're going to go, and Amy Grant, not the Amy Grant,
not baby,
Peter Cetera's Amy Grant, not Vince Gill's Amy Grant, not no one's Amy Grant except for this lovely person, Amy Grant, Rhode Island. She sent me some questions because she had heard that I have little kids, and she is going to be planning her trip to Walt Disney World. And weirdly enough, I actually just booked a trip, or I'm actually still in the process of booking a trip to Walt Disney World. And I leave when you're hearing this, I will be there, but I leave tomorrow night to go on a last-minute little trip with just me and my son. It's going to be a lot of fun, but we are dealing with those situations of planning. My son is close to four. He's 3 1/4, 3 3/4, and he is a little bit of a handful, but not too bad. But my twin girls aren't going, but we have traveled with them as well. But she wrote in with some specific questions, and I thought these are some ones that we could possibly take and kind of run with it and also go over a little bit about, actually, we talked about booking a last-minute trip. We talked about John, who is staying off property,
yeah,
or not even, he lives, his family lived there, so he's staying with family, just going and walking up, buying a ticket. But this will be a little bit different, because now we're going to talk about actually planning it, doing your fast passes, doing everything, what you can get if you're booking genuinely 48 hours or less out.
And that's so different from a lot of people, because I know people who are literally in the Disney community. I'm active in a lot of the message boards and group Facebook groups, and I'm watching people that are like, I'm planning spring break next year.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine where I'll be spring break next year.
Right. But, and that's kind of how I am too.
Yeah, I'm much more of a plan a lot closer to the, even with DVC, we probably book on average in the 3 to 4 month window.
Yeah.
That's in advance for us.
Yeah. And that does not work usually in my family. It's so much this last minute, whether we can do it or not, whether I have the Southwest points to do it. Thankfully I did, though this week destroyed my Southwest points account. I'm still rocking it though, because I had saved up so many over the last year or so. We haven't traveled at all.
Time to buy a TV, apparently.
Can you do that? Can you buy other things with your Southwest points? I'll have to look.
No, like, you need to buy some more stuff to get some more points.
Oh, well, I put my Walt Disney World vacation on it, so it's fine. So I'm going this week from just... I'm leaving tomorrow night, so this would be Tuesday night, and I will be leaving on Friday, and then I don't fly back. I'm meeting up with some people, another part of Florida with the rest of my family, but just me and the boy are going down. But these are the questions that came in. I'm going to answer those as well as expand on some of her specific questions. She said, specifically, what rides can our 18-month-old daughter ride on? If it doesn't have a height requirement, does that mean she can go as long as we are with her? Are there any recommendations? How do we know if a ride isn't safe for her? She's almost 32 inches tall. Well, the safe bet is you know, people don't, they discourage the, you know, stuffing your kids' socks to make them of the height requirement. My son just barely made the height requirement of Star Tours last time. You probably heard him on the show.
Yes.
So he's excited to go this time because he should be in the clear now. He should be 41, 42 inches. So he should be okay for a lot of them. When it comes to an 18-month-old, I just took our, at the time, they're only 5 months old, but I've also taken an 18-month-old. And yeah, if it doesn't have a specific number, I would say it's safe if you're attentive as a parent. You're holding on to this child 18 months. They're walking, they're around. be very careful, especially on some of the water rides. Be very careful on even things like Dumbo.
I was going to say, even like my favorite Dumbo.
Oh, yeah.
There are times when I'm terrified on Dumbo because it just you're not like paying attention and like the seats are a little, little smooth and you get sliding around. So, I mean, I think you really do have to be attentive. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of us forget at Disney. And we've seen events happen recently where you get in the Disney bubble and you feel
like it's all nothing can go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong. And there's definitely things that can go wrong. And so you really have to be. That's one of my pet peeves because I think I find a lot of people when they go on a Disney vacation sort of like go on vacation
right.
from being an adult, you know, and so you have to pay attention to your kids.
Well, with Dumbo,
and make sure that, you know, Dumbo, hold your child.
Yeah, hold your kid if they're definitely not of like sitting by themselves age or walking age. They will often, just so you know, as I noticed this, I held our 5-6 month old. They were preemies, so they were even smaller. Girls on Dumbo, and it was kind of terrifying. I'll be honest, like my wife was like, oh, it's fine for me. I was a little bit like, man, this is a little much. They do often shut off your joystick. So you go on whatever the predetermined plan on. So pretty much they make you focus on your child and you don't know that. And at first I was like, it's broken. And then I've learned now that that's just something they do. If you're holding your child, they'll often disable that. So sometimes you'll be flying very low for the majority of it. Then you'll do the big up, then everyone goes up and then you'll come down. So it's still fun, but you will notice those kind of things. I've never had any like close calls with my son. It's also just knowing their mood and their attitude. What I've been doing, and I would say this is even beyond the safety part, is the preparing part. We're going in a couple of days, and this is the first time he's wanted to and been tall enough to do something like Splash Mountain. He's been talking about it because it's on Disney Infinity. You can build a Splash Mountain. You can ride around it. So I showed him the video of Splash Mountain, and he kind of said, yeah, I'm not. I don't want to do it. And that helped me a lot because, I would have wasted a Fast Pass on Splash Mountain, something that is not the hardest Fast Pass to get, but could have ruled me out of doing something else. And I showed him Pirates, which he did Pirates as a little child, hadn't done it really since. And he loved that. And was like, okay, I want to do that. So now we're doing Pirates, Peter Pan, and Haunted Mansion. It's our first three Fast Passes early in the day. I know those aren't the most thrilling attractions, but it's also what I could get. When it comes to safety, you've probably been on these rides before, but watch YouTube videos. Take a look at what the options are. Great recommendations for 18-month daughter to ride on. Obviously, Magic Kingdom, really any of the Fantasyland stuff. Small World was my son's favorite. It still probably is until Haunted Mansion kind of took over. It was his favorite until he rode that. So Small World, great option. Long, he loves it. He talks about it all the time. I can't really preach the Small World push enough. If it's your daughter, you know, there's other things that like Chanted Tales with Belle and some of those that are really cool for you as an adult, but are, you know, it's not rides.
Yeah. And I would say like for an 18 month old girl, the, Undersea Adventure.
Even
things like the train,
right?
You know, cause I remember as a child getting on the train going, this is ridiculous.
No, my son loves that.
You know, and I'll admit, I'm the guy that's been in Orlando, not had park tickets for a day, and I've been completely content just riding like the monorail, riding the ferry, riding the friendship boats. Like, I think that's almost...
Yeah, as a kid, that's what it's, where it's at. I can tell you that, man.
And in Disneyland, the monorail is actually an attraction, and I think we forget, you know...
Yeah, how cool it is.
How cool it is.
Yeah, my son, we were booking our trip, so and there was a good AP discount. It just wrapped up. I think you can still get it through the end of this week if you're looking for a really good last-minute travel. I mean, there were rates that were like less than 200 bucks for Animal Kingdom Lodge, 200-something bucks for, 300 for certain of the really high-end hotels, like a Grand Floridian. It was under 300 bucks for the Grand Floridian a night. I'm like, oh, this is really nice. So I gave him the list of every hotel. I was like, at first I was like, an animation, because it was like 240 bucks, which is still, when it was 50 bucks between that or Animal Kingdom, like, come on. But I was like, we could stay in the car suite. He's like, nope. And he's like, I told him, showed him Animal Kingdom. Said, look, you can see giraffes out your window. Nope. He said, where do you want to stay? He goes, the one where the monorail goes through it. So we ended up staying at Bay Lake Tower because there was a deal there and Contemporary was sold out, assuming we're staying there coming up. And, you know, we booked that trip. And, you know, it's going to be a fun little adventure for us to go try. But when it comes down to the rides, I don't think safe if you're – a parent, look, if you ask this question, you're a safe enough parent to where I don't think the safety is. It's mainly knowing your kid, even Ariel. And this is one thing that I'm the little nerd dad who goes, even every kid ride, minus really It's a Small World, has some scare moment, especially those dark rides, whether it's Nemo, whether it's whether what you said, whether what did you
Ariel's
just say?
Undersea.
Ariel Sees Undersea Adventure. Winnie the Pooh doesn't have as much. There's a couple weird moments, but my son typically liked those weird moments. But they all seem to have kind of a scare moment.
Even Peter Pan.
Pan is a scare moment. So, you know, be aware of your kids' surroundings. Be aware of what they like when it comes to picking the rides they can go on. When we go to Epcot, it gets a little bit harder. Grand Fiesta Tour is great. I'm sure Frozen is probably fine. I think Frozen has a decent little drop. Hold on to your kid. You know, specifically hold on to your kid. I think it's some of those drops, mainly even for them, because it's mentally disorienting. Those small ones that are in the dark. Epcot, it has some good play areas, some really great play areas in sort of the...
Probably not for 18-month-olds, but for your son, the Kidcot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of fun just to go around and do the little activities.
Yeah, we have never done that, so we may do it this time. I don't know if we'll have time, but
just
because
it's kind of a fun, like, you know, you always see the homeschoolers at Epcot, but there really is a lot of learning that you can do while you're there and just learning about the countries and the cultures and the traditions and the...
Yeah, and Epcot's got lots of, you know, videos and things like that, stuff that may not hold your kids' attention, but there's some things there. You know, do your research on Epcot and see if that really weighs enough for you to go there with an 18-month-old unselfishly. You know, would you go there if you weren't there? Would you go there if you have kids? I know you want to go there. I want to go there. It's one of my favorite parks. But there isn't still, for that little of a child, a ton they can do. You can't really do any of the marquee attractions.
No. None of the e-tickets.
You could do Spaceship Earth. But again, Spaceship Earth, my son loved that one. That was one of his favorite ones at Epcot. But again, has a few moments that are kind of freaky, and you have to know whether your kid can handle it. You heard my son, his favorite ride is the Haunted Mansion. I think he's fine. But for other kids, not no go. Some good character meetups at Epcot. Do some characters. Honestly, that's why I push. I'm going to wrap that part up there right now. We're talking about this question about what rides and attractions. There are great rides you can do, but nothing I've seen better than just, you know, meet some characters.
Although, a lot of times when you're 18 months old, you're freaked out over the characters too.
Again, so. I've just been lucky with that.
And that's the one thing you have to do is you have to know, you know, you have to know your child and you have to know what their limits are. And what I've seen a lot of parents do that I wish they wouldn't do when they're at the parks is they push their kids
too far.
And you have to know, like, when your kids, most of the time when they're home, they're on a schedule, you know, they have nap time at a certain time.
And there is that little bit of knowing, like, hey, we're at Disney World, we're going to push it a little. And I understand, look, time is money for what you're spending. But, you know, as Lynn preaches, as we preached here, take naps, take breaks, especially if they're for a long trip, not like mine.
So we were talking over lunch. Let's talk about this for a minute. Yeah. You're planning your trip.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're doing the Lynn Testa approved. You're getting up. Your fast passes are first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Even though you literally just made them 48 hours before your trip, and you were able to get some good fast passes.
Yeah, I want to state that. Look, I've been pushing this because, look, some of my friends who work in our office, they're like, man, we're going in September, and there's not even a Chef Mickey's opening. I'm like, just hold off, wait, and be flexible because, look, I went in, again, we're 2 days before. Here's my dining reservations for you for Magic Kingdom. I haven't met, or for my first day, which we're going half Magic Kingdom, half Hollywood Studios. Second day, we haven't quite planned it out yet, so I haven't made my dining, but I can tell you some options that popped up. So we're doing Chef Mickey's for breakfast on Wednesday morning.
And there was a point in time where you could not get Chef Mickey's at day 179.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
You literally could not get
it. Often you can't still. It's just these cancellations come in when you're getting this close and stuff opens up. Now, it's also helpful that I have two people in my party at Chef Mickey's. Not exactly most common. Usually it's a family. So two people of us at Chef Mickey's, but there was multiple times. I'm going very early, but there were options at 8. There was an option at 7 a.m., an option at 11 a.m. I took the early one. I looked this morning. There was an option at 8:15 and a 9:15. I almost switched it, but we're going to try this out to see. That's 6 o'clock my morning time, so it's going to be a little crazy. But we're going. So we did Chef Mickey's. I'm scooting over to the park. The only fast passes that weren't available at the Magic Kingdom all day, I think, were parade viewing. And I believe, I'll have to look up. I think that was maybe Seven Dwarfs wasn't available. I didn't look for that one. But those are the only two that really stuck. Could have gotten Space, could have gotten Splash, could have gotten any of the big attractions. Had no problem.
And this leads me to believe
they're opening stuff up.
Well, and that maybe surge pricing truly is working. Maybe there is that.
I'm going,
You're going when it, I think.
It's just switched to the standard. But I mean,
it's standard. People, it's not the bottom discount. Not the discounted time. And so, you know, maybe park attendance is a little down because I've seen a lot of people getting in things at the last minute, the last couple weeks. Yeah. We've had a lot of our listeners that have been following their trips. And we love that. We love that when you guys go to the parks. We love vicariously living through you when we're not there. We love to see your stories. We love to see pictures. Absolutely. I've seen lots of people at the new Art Smith restaurant, the homecoming restaurant at Disney Springs, which looks absolutely fantastic. Hopefully when Lynn's on later in the show, he can tell us about
he just got back.
That cake that they have there, because that looks fantastic.
Yeah, we're switching off. Lynn just got back, and I'm going down. And then also for lunch, we're doing Be Our Guest at 12:25.
Yeah.
You know, and so that shows you, I mean, there was options at other restaurants, and that wasn't the only option. It was the main lunch option, and I took it as soon as we saw it. And that's where you have to also be like, don't second guess yourself. I've done that 1,000 times. If Chef Mickey's opens up at the time slot that you potentially want it, take it right then, because there are so many people that are on that page booking it as you're speaking. So go ahead and get it.
And then you cancel it if you don't want it.
Cancel if you don't want it. 24 hours out, you're fine. If not, you lose $20. I mean, for me, it's 20, 10 bucks a person.
I've never actually heard anyone that's ever gotten charged. I don't know.
I was curious about that.
If you've been charged, would you tweet us and let us know? Or send us a Facebook message? Because I've never actually heard.
Because I've not been able to make it. And I don't believe I remember seeing anything on my card.
Yeah, we've never been charged.
And I've had times where I haven't been able to make it. So, I mean, that's just the truth. But overall, it was... It was fine. So, I mean, I booked that. I got my fast passes in. I was able to book. Now, here's also the thing. 2 days ago, when we started considering it, I looked at the Star Wars fireworks dessert. Because I was like, look, I want to do the Star Wars fireworks. I went the last time, and it was so slammed that it was very hard to find a spot that was super enjoyable. So I said, man, I don't know if it's going to work this time, but I want to go see it. So I was like, oh, let's do the dessert party. Sold out. Looked this morning. Available. Available for yesterday, today, tomorrow. Like I first actually put in today, and it was available. I looked in for tomorrow. Yep, Wednesday. Yep. So I booked it, and we're going to the dessert party.
Fantastic.
And it is a little bit pricey. It's about $100 for my son and I to go. But from what I've heard, I can't wait to actually review it. It's a little bit different than some of those dessert parties that I've been to before, where it's the dessert party surrounding where you watch the fireworks. Looks like you actually eat your desserts at the launch bay somewhere, or you check in at the launch bay and they escort you 15 minutes before the show to your spot. If that you're trying to stay out of the heat, this could be awesome. I will tell you about it next week, whether it's worth it
I'm
or not.
I'm hoping the Jawas are serving you.
I hope so. I kind of hope there's something special. But overall, I mean, so that's all I booked so far. And I booked I'm going to Epcot. I've only booked one fast pass so far. Couldn't get Frozen. Frozen is the only thing that I've looked that there are never at availability.
Yeah, there's fast passes available in 2019.
Right. There was no availability for that. I'm still going to keep checking just in case something happens.
Yeah, I'm going to cancel.
But nothing for Frozen, but I was able to see Got Soarin'. I was able to get whatever else I wanted to get, and we're 2 days out. And that, to me, said something about, okay, you actually can do this pretty well. Like, I know I'm going to see 4 or 5 major attractions in FastPass. And now, you know, it's great. And when you talk about traveling with a little kid, especially a last minute, I was a little expecting, like, oh, crud, we're not going to be able to do the things he wants to do. But looking at it, you know, we are. You know, we're going to be able to hit most of the major attractions that he wants to do. And I could have hit all the major attractions that I wanted to do.
So let me be a voice. I know you're listening to the show right now and you're going, okay, I don't have a kid. No 18-month-old is going with me
right
to Disney. So let's just for a few minutes talk about, can we talk about if you weren't taking, and maybe it was just you and I going.
Sure.
We would be able to do all the things that...
I don't see why, specifically for this week. I mean, yes, if we're talking about Christmas, that's a problem. Obviously. If we're talking about spring break, problem. But, you know, we're talking about the last really week of summer for a lot of people. And I think we've noticed that. The touring plans definitely have it in the 8s and 9s. And you know, that was a little concerning to me. But then when I was able to see stuff opened up, I was like, okay, we can pull this off. I looked at dining, get La Cellier for lunch, La Cellier for dinner. I mean, I'm not probably going to do that with my 2-year-old, but or my 2-year-old, sorry, with my 3-month-old. What am I saying?
How old is your child?
I don't know.
Is he actually your child?
He's 3¾ years old, almost 4. And am I going to do that with him? Probably not. But it was available. That was surprising. So if it's just us, I mean, I could have easily done. Now, the only fast pass that was specifically... it used to be flexible in time. Like Peter Pan was available at 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, I think maybe 10, and then done until like 6 o'clock in the
evening. Which is shocking because honestly, this is definitely, no questions asked, the time to do the parks in the morning and then go resort.
I know.
Nap,
yeah. So that's our plan.
Crayola, Disney Springs, whatever you want, something that's not in the heat in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. Our plan right now is to do hardcore morning. So 7 a.m., Chef Mickey, somewhere around there, immediately hit the monorail, or even walk from the contemporary to the gates of Magic Kingdom. Do that until our lunch at Be Our Guest. Get out of there. Spend our lunch hours, take a nap, rest. If we have time, swim, something like that. But most likely, we'll be getting him, my son, through his nap. I'll be chilling out at the hotel. I'll probably take a nap as well and get up and head over to the studios. And the studios, I obviously couldn't make a fast pass for. So I'm a little bummed out that, like, that's one thing. Can the Rolling, here's a question. Can the Rolling Fourth, now that it's on the app, does it know, does, do I have to be at Magic Kingdom?
No, you can be anywhere.
It, period.
Period.
Even with it on the app. So I can make a reservation at Hollywood Studios. So that night, so once I get through my three.
I've heard people doing it. I've never actually done it, but.
All right, well, I'll find out. Because I'm sure I'll ask Lynn, too. Because that would be nice to say, could I get a Star Tour? Is it even 10 o'clock at night? I don't care, because my son's an hour ahead of his time. Probably not 10, because, well, I don't know, when fireworks at 9:30, so I'm not sure exactly. But
I'm sure you're going to be able to get on.
But I was surprised. I mean, the only thing that I have to say was a complete, and this was good hotel prices, really good right now. I don't know why.
I was shocked.
I was shocked at the prices. This is now, these are annual pass holder discount prices. Some of them were 45%+ off. I could have stayed at Art of Animation for, like I said, for $200. I could have stayed at Pop for like $90.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Is very rare. That is very interesting because these seem like 2005 kind of annual pass discount prices.
Right. Those are the numbers that got me in the annual pass the first time.
Yes, same here. That was probably when we first had the annual pass. I used my discount and I was like, you're paying me to practically stay there. Right. So it's very, you know, I will admit when you called and you sent me a text like, hey, I think I'm going, where should I stay? I'm like, dude, you got to do Animal Kingdom Lodge. I was kind of bummed that you guys
I wanted you
to do Animal Kingdom Lodge. But I understand. I mean, the Contemporary is, it's right there.
It's right there. He knows it because we go to Chef Mickey's all the time and he's always like, man, I want to stay in that hotel. And I wish we could be staying in the main building, but we're staying over at Bay Lake, which is very nice. And I love it there. But for him, I wish he could stay in the main building. He likes the idea of being able to open up his door in the hotel room and there's the monorail, there's Chef Mickey's. He likes, said, I want to be able to look down upon him. He likes that concept. So unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. And I would rather have done Animal Kingdom Lodge, but we are doing 7 a.m. at Chef Mickey's.
Yeah.
And we are hitting the park morning. So honestly, I probably would have had to cancel Chef Mickey's and figure out something else because I'm not going from Animal Kingdom to Contemporary. Take me 25 minutes. And I'm rather going to be, all right, get up, quick shower for me, get some clothes on him, hit Chef Mickey's and get out of there.
So you guys are going to drive or are you going to you're not going to do just any transportation?
No, we're going to get a rental car.
Rent a car.
Because I'm going to drive up. It's one way to panhandle.
Yeah, and you can probably find a great deal on a rent-a-car out of Florida right now because they tend to be cheap.
I know we've been talking about this already for like 20 minutes, guys. She did have one other little last question about traveling with kids. And look, I'll give you a full trip report. This is a pre-trip report. This is what I'm excited about doing. And look, hey, here's a question. If you're in the park, let me know. I don't know. I'll be with my kids or my son. I don't know necessarily be able to make any special, you know, stops. But if you're around, I'd love to say hey. But also, if you have any things you want me to review specifically, I will do my best to do it under the guidelines. Fact that we're gonna try to hit all four parks. Animal Kingdom's the only one that's sort of in the, you know, we'll see. And that would be Animal Kingdom evening. Send me a Facebook message or a Facebook message to WDW Today or tweet me at WDW Today Podcast or at Logan Seculo, and I'll try to see what we can do. She did ask one other question, Amy did, and I know this is, again, a bit more specific, but she asked, essentially, let me pull up the comment here, they want to visit Universal for a day during our visit, but as we are staying at the Yacht Club, we aren't renting a car. Are there any services we can use, car rental, Uber, or others, that would pick us up at the resort with a car seat for our 18-month toddler? We won't have a car seat with us and have no idea how to get her to Universal safely. This is a bit of an issue. And I think we need to do a little digging here. And Terry's doing some digging.
I'm digging right now, yes.
I have rented them with rental cars before. And I know Uber in New York now does it, but...
February 26th, they rolled it out. Uber family.
That comes with one car seat and available
for... They rolled it out. Remember when they did the big Uber Zootopia thing?
Yeah.
They rolled that out at the same time. That's right. That's why they rolled
it out. That's why they did it. So, yes, right now, I will try to look at my Uber app. I don't need it, but I'll look at my Uber app and see. But as far as I know, yeah, you should be able to do that. Other options are, I'm not sure if Kingdom Strollers, but a lot of those companies that rent strollers also rent car seats.
So, at the airport, you can do black car in a car seat, SUV in a car seat. Outside the airport, choose Uber Family option to be able to select either Uber X with a car seat or Uber XL. And the service areas are the MCO, Disney Theme Parks, iDrive, Universal, SeaWorld.
So you should be good to go.
And the Four Corners Resort. One car seat is available in each Uber family vehicle. The weight range, Uber saying, is between 25 and 60 pounds.
Okay, so it's not
suitable for children 2 to 6.
Yeah, so you're not talking about a toddler seat. So that's a little bit more concern. It's a little bit different. Your child's 18 months old. Whether they're enough, you probably need to weigh them and see. That's up to you. But another option, if that doesn't come through, there are plenty of these companies that will rent you a car seat. Now, where you're going to store it when you get to Universal, I don't know. That's a little bit of an iffy situation. There may be a place to.
If not, it. You could just do a mirror shuttle.
Yeah.
You know, because the requirements are a little different.
Yeah, it's like a bus. So same thing whether you're doing the Magical Express. So,
and they have they have transfers with mirrors that are pretty affordable.
Yeah.
You may have to choose something that's a little less time flexible.
But it sounds like the Uber may be your best option. If they don't have one that would fit a toddler seat, that's the difference there. The toddler seats. Check out those other options and check out some of the companies that rent strollers. They often rent car seats. And I just rented a stroller from Kingdom Strollers. And you know what they're doing is they're dropping off my stroller at the bell stand. I take it back down. We take it back down the night before we leave. And they come pick it up. And it's no hassle. And it's great. They were sponsored for us earlier this year. The good guys, but also just a great service. I'm not sure if they specifically rent car seats, but there are other ones that do. So just do a little Googling. And if you have any specific more questions, hit me up, email me. I don't mind answering them here on the show. Well, I feel like I exhausted ourselves a little bit. I'm not even sure what the topic of this show is. It's a little bit of last minute traveling. It's a little bit of traveling with some toddlers, traveling with some infants. But you know, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm excited to go down this week. I haven't been back in a few months, which I know is nothing for you guys, but for me is a little bit more. And last time I was there, we weren't able to do a whole lot. It was super hot, and I had my little girls who were, you know, very tiny little kids and weren't able to do much. So just me and my boy, we're going to go and try to commando-style kill it.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear kind of your trip report.
Yeah.
Kind of doing like a father and son.
Father and son, yeah, I look forward to
banging it out, going like getting it done.
We'll see how it goes. You know, I'm both... I did a stroller, and I wasn't sure for because he's almost 4, and I wasn't sure because he can. It's not like I'm putting him in a stroller anywhere else in the world. But I figure if I want to get somewhere decently fast, he's going to get hot and tired. This is the way to do it: is to rent a stroller. They have these kind of big daddy strollers over at Kingdom Strollers that are like the city minis, but like the city plus. And he had one last time, enjoyed it.
See, we don't even have kids, and yeah. I consider renting a stroller just because it's a great way to get through the Disney crowds. They're kind of like a snowplow in a lot of ways.
So. You do have to go through down the line now through that extra line though for like bags and stuff. So that was my only bit of like maybe I don't want.
But you guys aren't going to be. You're not going to be trying to 4-park it a day. You might, sounds like 2 parks a day.
2 parks. Yeah. What I'm going to try to do is, and really the first day, the only reason we're doing that is because we're able to get that Hollywood Studios, the dining, the dessert party. I want to do that for the show. And I want to do that because we're a huge Star Wars family and he wants to see
it. And that's perfect because you guys are going to be able to go over there. You're going to see the fireworks. You can see Launch Bay. He can probably see Chewie.
Yeah.
And then go ride Star Tours. And there's really.
That's all we're going to do.
Yeah. Other than maybe grabbing, but you're not. You can't do a PB&J shake because you're going to.
Can. I'm on this crazy diet, but he can maybe do that. I may take him. He hasn't done the Great Movie Ride. And
He's
got some family ties because we had our reception there for our wedding. But I'm going to try to do that if we have time and see if he enjoys that. I'm not so sure he will. I know the alien part may freak him out a bit, but he likes The Wizard of Oz and he likes Mary Poppins and some of the other things that are in that ride that I think he would really enjoy it. If not, I'll give him a cell phone and he'll enjoy himself. Sadly, that's just the truth. When I thought about whether we're going to dine like at Les L.E.A., I'm like, well, I could just give him my phone and he'd be fine. You know,
I wouldn't sit up towards the front of the Great Movie Ride with him because
just somewhere he could kind of tuck.
Because you never know like with the actor that you're getting because sometimes they're like way over the top and sometimes they're like I don't know.
Yeah, and really there's nothing else for him to do at studios. He can't really ride. He could do Toy Story Mania, and but who knows if we'll be able to wait in that line. So he doesn't really know it's there, so we're not going to ride it. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this little topic. I can't wait to get back next week and tell you if any of this worked, how my situation was, and I hope it's fun. I've never flown with my son alone, so that should be interesting. We have a lot of great stuff. So, Amy, thank you so much for sending that little email to me, and I will hopefully confirm all those suggestions and topics I will with you next week. And I think that is going to do it until we get over to listener questions with Lynn. So let's go over there. We'll be right back. All right, I want to take a quick break. I'm telling you about the Mall Month, and They're doing really well, guys. And we can't thank you enough for reaching out and being part of Circa 1955. That's CRICA1955.com. They are a candle subscription service, and you get 2 candles a month right in the mail that smell just like your home away from home, Walt Disney World, and lots of unique smells. You know, I was expecting to get very generic stuff when you started talking to me about it, but it's really specific stuff and really cool.
Yeah, they've just sent their first box out, so if you have subscribed,
it's
on the way. And I just got a box over the weekend of like the scents that are coming right now, smelling candles in the studio. We can't stop doing it. We love these things. I know there's that, you know, the Soren scents and the
Soranges. She needs to take my name advice.
I think she is. I think she's going to call it Soranges.
Awesome.
And then the apple pie from PhilharMagic.
I love that one.
And we want the redhead, of course, and all kinds of fun ones. Churros.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And I kind of suggested this last week, and I actually agree with it. I agree with myself. I actually think about doing it. She calls it the happiest candle collection on earth. But look, you got... We're today, as we're recording this is Christmas in July. We're 6 months to Christmas. So you'd be able to save up about 12 candles to give to your loved one. And then they continue on the subscription. So you pass down the subscription. You can probably say, okay, you know where you're going to do it. Or just take those 12. Boom. You got them. You're good to go. Great Christmas gifts. And an awesome way to save up. So if you get a candle, you're like, I'm not a huge fan of burning Rome. I like the idea of it. But you who will, the crazy Disney fan in my life. Great gifts. They're great people. They've really been supportive of what we've done here is circa1955.com. And when you get that first package, if you have got them, let us know what you think. We want to hear back and let her know as well. Everyone there at circa1955 and their website again, circa1955.com. Now on to listener questions with Lynn.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, it's that time again. It's time for listener questions with Lynn. And Lynn, welcome back from Disney World. As I'm going there in just a few hours, you're getting back. We missed each other like ships passing in the night once again.
Planes passing in the sky. It's hot. I don't know if you've heard. Bring some sunscreen.
I've heard, and that's why I'm doing the – I'm trying, even though I know it's bad in the morning and the evening, but I'm doing the Lynn test morning, evening, taking the afternoons off and trying our best to not burn. So we'll see how that goes. I know it's hot. Anything before we get to listener questions, anything new you hit?
Yeah, we did a bunch of new things, actually. We tried 3 new restaurants at Disney Springs, Art Smith's Homecoming, SDK, and Frontera Cucina.
So I definitely want to know. I've seen pictures of that crazy cake at Art Smith's place and the fried chicken. Is it as good as it looks on my Facebook feed?
Yes. It's so he's got 2 fantastic desserts. One is the hummingbird cake.
The hummingbird cake, yes.
Yeah. Pineapple and banana chunks in a white spice cake with a cream cheese frosting. Delicious. Smack your grandmother good. The other thing that they do is a bundt cake. So it's almost like a pound cake soaked in moonshine and then covered in a powdered sugar frosting. And that's also very good. I really liked Art Smith quite a bit. It's a really small menu. I think they've only got 7 things on the menu. And then pretty much anything you can order as an entree, you can get as a sandwich or a salad. So that's why the menu looks big.
Ah, cool.
But they've got a really great cocktail menu. And I think this is the of the 3 restaurants that I liked. I liked I liked Art Smith the best. And the thing that put them over the top were the cocktails and the desserts, which I thought were a cut above everything else.
Who is the guy? What is his background? I've heard it before. Someone already mentioned.
He's like a.
No, he was like a celebrity chef.
Celebrity chef.
No, he was somebody's chef.
Was he the White House chef?
Oprah chef. He was.
No,
someone.
I think that's the other guy, the guy from Frontera Cucina.
Maybe that's what it is.
Rick Bayless.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the guy that's sort of bringing authentic Mexican to the United States. Yeah. Some stuff there was very good. All 3 restaurants actually had execution problems over the weekend while I was there. In order of severity, it was Homecoming, SDK, and then – sorry, in reverse order. Frontier Kitchen had some kitchen problems while we were there. SDK had some minor execution problems in the dishes. And then Art Smith had a couple of minor things. But
so
it was intriguing.
So Art was the governor, the chef for the governors of Florida for Jeb Bush and
that's what it was. He was Jeb.
And he was the personal, this is where most of you know him. He was the personal chef to Oprah Winfrey.
So this is Homecoming?
Homecoming.
Ha! I know something.
Yeah.
I know something.
See? Random fact, you know.
That's cool. So you did those three. What do you think about, because we're talking a lot about the show, about bringing your little kid to Disney World, those things, and doing some of these restaurants. What kind of age range do you think you bring your kids to these restaurants or something to do for your like date night out?
I think they're more date nights. So SDK is definitely a date night place. I would not go there with a family. They play a DJ at very loud volumes. And most of the crowd, I think, is in the 25 to 35-year-old range, the kind of crowd that gets the evening started with a round of shots. And they actually have, like, you know, like when you go to some places, family-oriented places, there's a birthday ceremony.
Yeah.
They have a similar thing here, but for people who order a round of shots.
Gotcha.
And the wait staff made a point of telling us that every horizontal surface in the restaurant has the ability to be danced upon. So, like, you could actually climb up on the table and dance on it if you were so inclined.
Well, speaking of which, Will Haynes just walked in the
room.
Speaking
of dancing on the table. Dancing on the table.
Sounds like his kind of jam. So, that being said, it's almost like a little bit of a Pleasure Island vibe going on there. You know, not exactly. As to the theming of Disney Springs, which has been maybe a little bit more on the classier side, you have a little bit more of the party going on there. So, that's interesting.
That was it. It's definitely a younger crowd. Like, I felt old there, and I'm not that old. You know?
That'd be to laugh. I'm sorry.
Yes. Shut up, man.
I wouldn't fit in there as well. I got three little kids. It was not coming to be.
You're not fitting in there either. No. None of us are fitting in.
So when we're talking Disney Springs, what are the standouts still for you?
I still think Morimoto is great. I still like Boathouse. In fact, I like both of them more than I liked any of these three, although I would put Art Smith in the same category as those three. So like in the top tier, Art Smith's Homecoming would definitely show up. You know, the big thing with Art Smith is if your kids are able to sit down for an hour-long meal, there's plenty of stuff that on the menu for them to like. There's steak. The fried chicken is really that good. Like, I don't know if you've heard the hype on it.
Yeah.
It really is that good.
It's not just Disney fried chicken.
No. It is good fried chicken. And the couple of appetizers that we tried were also very good. I wasn't really big on the pork barbecue plate because I said in my blog post, woo, I used to live down the street from a Stamey's barbecue.
Exactly.
In North Carolina.
The barbecue. The barbecue is the hardest one to, I feel like, for any of these things. It's even like when people love the flame tree. I mean, I like the flame tree, but it's nothing compared to what you actually can get in your part of the country or our part of the country.
Yeah, it's just not. Nobody needs to attempt to do barbecue unless they need to check a box on some master menu that says, you know, we've got barbecue covered in the parks.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, I mean, that's good. Any we can just go briefly. Any other attractions or anything you missed or any standouts?
Did the Soarin' Around the World? The big controversy, the big sort of dividing line with the new Soarin' Around the World is how much you are willing to tolerate in terms of Disney using CGI.
Okay.
On the different scenes. So every scene has significant elements that are computer generated.
Really? That's not what I was expecting.
Tons.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what's an example of CGI being used?
The most
like the up house flies around? Like, what are we talking about here?
No. So it's fairly obvious by the second scene, which is that you fly over the Arctic. And the polar bears look up at you a little too perfectly.
Gotcha.
And the visuals are, you've heard the term uncanny valley,
right?
Okay. So it's like that, but it's like uncanny coincidences in terms of what the polar bears are.
They were able
and
to
then, shoot. Yeah. Just as you get to the very end, a large chunk of the ice shelf cleaves off of one of the glaciers and falls into the water. But the thing that did it for me was, the flyover of the Taj Mahal, in which everything is pristine and there aren't 100,000 people living in front of it in squalor.
Gotcha.
It's like I've seen the Taj Mahal. That is not the Taj Mahal.
That's not it.
See, to me, the weirdest part was when the polar bear was drinking a Coca-Cola. Like, I just didn't get where he got that.
And the Santa Claus thing, it was all strange. And so once you realize that it's all CG, or, you know, a lot of it is CG.
But enhanced, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I was willing to look past it because I think the opening scene is just fantastic. You're flying over the Alps. And I legit had to hold on to my seat because I got vertigo on it. I thought that was really well done.
So in deciding whether to take my four-year-old on the new Soarin', I'm going to start leaning towards...
No, do it. It was, I was on the extreme far left end top
gotcha. Row.
And there's also visual distortions because it's CG. So the Eiffel Tower was sort of C-shaped for me, which it shouldn't be normally.
That's
that's
a bummer. Like I've kept myself away from like watching too much from it because I'm excited because I love the first one and I love the California views. And yeah, you can get away with like, okay, the golf ball probably didn't, you know, it didn't exactly.
Yeah, so, but imagine that in every scene and in every significant visual element.
Right. It's like they knew, oh, people like that part. Let's just do it.
Let's do it all the time. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer.
Also rode. So I did the Royal Summer Hoos.
All right.
Meet and greet. It was good. Wait, wasn't too long. Under 20 minutes.
Not too long.
No, not terrible. I think it's a great meet and greet because Ann and Elsa really take time to talk to you and stuff. And the kids loved it. And that was good. I think it's reasonably detailed. They definitely copied a house in Trondheim, Norway for the exterior. So that looks pretty realistic. I don't even mind the gift shop exit very much because I think it's pretty well done. I will wait. When you get back, you and I will talk about Frozen Ever After the ride.
Okay. I'm going to do my best. I don't have, because we booked it so last minute, I don't have a fast pass for it, but I'm going to do my best to wait.
Get there first thing.
There's no way I'm riding it.
Of course not. Will may be coming. We'll force him on. If we get there first thing, what was the wait like?
So it's under 20 minutes if you get there right away. It's definitely under 40. So
with my little guy, I can pretty much rope drop just because he's up at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'll just head there and do our best. All right, cool.
Catch that. And if it's running, let's talk about it together.
Okay, I look forward to hearing your thoughts. All right, let's get to some questions while we're at it. Will, you want to start us off since you're brand new back?
Yeah, Karen Johnson asks, I'm considering a split stay, WDW and Disney's Hilton Head Island Resort.
Man, nice.
I know Lynn has been there. So, Lynn, do you think it's worth it? We get to WDW every 2 to 3 years, and we would rent a car and drive to from Hilton Head and stay for probably 4 nights there. This would take a little time from the WDW time, which is why it's a tough call for my husband, not for me. Any recommendations for how to make the most of your Hilton Head stay? We have 3 kids, ages 12 to 15. Thanks, and so glad you're still on the show fielding questions.
That's awesome. So Hilton Head, thank you. So Hilton Head's like 4 or 5 hours, depending on how you drive, from Walt Disney World. I loved Hilton Head when I stayed there in 2014. It is a little slice of Disney in the middle of South Carolina or Georgia, depending on what side you're on. The restaurants around it are good, walking distance to a Whole Foods. You get the Disney service, you get the Disney rooms.
At those resorts, like that's what's only kept me from like bringing my little kids there. Like, is it the Disney almost, level of, like you said, like almost the concierge level of being a great resort, or is there also Disney, I hate to use the word magic,
I think
that kind of vibe?
These were original DVC resorts. Those were very early on, as compared to Aulani, which is a much different experience. I've been to Hilton Head, and we did a split stay just like she's asking. But I don't remember seeing any characters at all. I think during this summer there might be.
Okay.
I don't recall seeing any characters. But if Hilton Head is too far, what about Vero Beach? Now, I haven't been to Vero Beach, but if it's like anything like Hilton Head, I think it'll be absolutely fine.
Heard good things.
It's a much closer drive.
Here's what I'm personally upset about. I grew up in Orlando and never knew that Hilton Head was only 4.5-5 hours away. Never went there.
No, for real, me either.
What's the deal, Mom and Dad?
Yeah, thanks, Mom. Yeah, I like the it's a slight walk, maybe half a mile or so to the beach, but the beach is fantastic. The clubhouse that they have there, I would have for my personal clubhouse anytime. It's wonderful.
I love their beach setup with.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, you have to I think you could take a shuttle too.
But they do the shuttles. Yeah, so if you're carrying stuff, yeah.
It's kind of across the highway. You have to go. So a lot of people will bike. But man, I think that part alone, It's like a clubhouse. There's a quick service. Yeah. You know, kind of a semi-private beach there, and it's pretty fantastic.
The thing I like about Hilton Head in general, the Hilton Head beaches, white sands, and it's a long run to the surf. So it's not like it's, you know, 10 yards of sand and then the water. Really long, big beach. If you go there in the morning, you can look for seashells and, you know, stuff that's washed up and stuff at night. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm not seeing if there are any characters. There weren't when we were there. I was thinking there might have been some in the summer during peak church season, but it doesn't.
So it's just a question. I don't know. Yeah, because that would probably change my mind whether it's whether you just go vacation or consider this as an alternative to going to Disney. I think that's pretty good. I think you got a good answer. Terry, you want to go next?
Yeah, Kelly Robinson wants to know, struggling with it all, which passes are the best bargain? We want to do Disney, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Water Park, and only want to combine and do two parks, say 2 days. I would guess that it's a very simple question. What are your top three recommendations for someone not staying at a Disney hotel?
Are they asking for the hotel? Or are they asking for just what to do, I guess?
I think they're mainly wanting to know. They're not staying on property, from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want to know how to kind of attack the trip. And it looks like they want three places to choose from where you would go. Well, this is a Disney podcast.
Well, yeah.
So we're going to recommend...
What?
Did they
go to Disney?
Go to Disney.
Well, yeah, of course. And they said they want Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, and a water park, which is pretty much a lot of it. Disney, if you guys are going to do one park, you do Magic Kingdom?
Yeah.
Lynn?
You know, I would actually pick Animal Kingdom over SeaWorld.
Yeah. Yeah, SeaWorld is in fairly rough shape, to be honest with you guys. Yeah. I went earlier this year, and you wouldn't think that, like, oh, the protest and all that stuff has made an effect. Sadly, it kind of has. And it's just not what it used to be.
Haven't they cut their operating hours too? Aren't they
open
They're
opening now like at 10 o'clock in the morning, I think. And closing early.
Yeah.
It's not good over there at SeaWorld. And look, they've even done some weird stuff. I don't know how old your kids are, but like they have a penguin encounter thing. Well, to just see the penguins now, you have to wait in line for this pre-penguin ride show thing. That's like, then the wait was like 80 minutes. And I was like, well, can I just go see the penguins? No, I'm sorry. Well, you know, what part of this is, you know, it's a weird line. A lot of stuff was closed when we were there. I loved SeaWorld as a kid. It's unfortunately just not what it once was. Mm. And I'm going to try to go back again soon.
It's disheartening for Shamu because I always thought Shamu was just the coolest.
And that's going away. That's going to go away somewhat soon. So,
yeah.
What else did she ask? She asked for other options. Universal. Enjoy. Well, honestly, if you're a Potter fan, you got to do both parks. If not, what do you guys think? What park would you prefer, Universal? Len, what do you think?
Depends on the age of the kids.
Yeah.
If the kids are younger, I would say Universal Studios.
The traditional.
Well, she said, I'm thinking the previous person, the Hilton Head person, was 12 to 15. So never mind, scrap my idea. But if they're 12 to 15, I'd say take them to islands and do the roller coasters.
Yeah, and all the Potter stuff that's there. It's a step up.
So what's the best, Len, in your opinion, best water park then in Orlando to do?
Again, depends on the age of the kids. If the kids are older, I think Typhoon Lagoon. If they're younger, Blizzard Beach.
And depending where you're going next year, we got a Volcano Bay. So,
oh man, so the volcano is almost the steel is almost completely done vertically, and that's gonna cause so many accidents on I-4.
It looks pretty awesome. I can't wait to see it in person. I'm not a water park guy, but with Wet n Wild going away and some of these things, it's gonna be cool to see the Volcano Bay. That's at Universal, so if that's open by the time, maybe try that out. So I don't know if we answered your question at all, but those are some recommendations.
Enjoy sunny Orlando.
For not staying at a Disney hotel, again, don't be afraid to go to Disney because you're not staying at a Disney hotel. I go to Disney every time, and I rarely stay at a Disney hotel.
Yeah, it's because you're not a Disney fan, I've heard.
I'm going to stay on property this week. I'm fine.
So what's the hotel situation that you'd recommend them do if they're not staying on property?
Universal hotels.
Yeah, Cabana Bay, actually. Cabana Bay, I think, is a good, inexpensive choice. If not that, depending on the size of your family. I really like the Staybridge Suites on 535 by the Crossroads, just across from Disney Springs or the downtown Disney hotels, or Disney Springs hotels. You know, $135 a night with tax, two bedrooms.
That's good.
Yeah, I've stayed there before. It's really nice.
Yeah. Inexpensive, lots of space, a kitchen.
I stayed there because I had a bunch of Holiday Inn points, and we were passing through and was like, hey, let's make a couple days here. So
Yeah, definitely.
Also look into renting houses or condos. Really great deals through All-Star or whoever. That's what I typically do. This time with just me and my boy, we're going to stay on property. But it's a rarity. We honestly looked at Universal because with Universal, you get the Express Pass, Unlimited Express Pass. And that alone for my son and I to go, and because we looked at going for the day and just getting Express Pass, it was like an extra $100 pretty much per person to get the Express Pass. Yeah. And it was like, well, then it's like $50 more that we could have a hotel room. So take a look at that. That's a good option. And I hope you guys hopefully answer your question. There's a lot of good stuff. And check out, you know what? Check out, I highly suggest is the, what is it? The iDrive, what's it called? Thing with the Orlando Eye.
Is the experience something like that?
It has the Orlando Eye, you know, big giant Ferris wheel. It has the Sea Life Aquarium and Madame Tussauds, all three fully air conditioned, little food court. All connected air conditioned. There's also a little like little mini mall outside of it on iDrive. I highly recommended that. I haven't been there since pretty much the week it opened, but the week it opened, we loved it and had a great time.
Yeah, I highly recommend
it. So, and a really good price, especially if you do if you want a Legoland, because you can get that Legoland for like a bundle at a really, really good price. All right. And I wouldn't recommend going to Legoland unless you have little kids that love Legos.
if they're under age 8, Legoland is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my son loved Legoland, but like I was there going, okay, this is fine.
You say Lego or Lego?
Lego.
I say Lego.
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 I know a bunch of people say Lego.
I think Lego is how you're supposed to say it.
Lego?
And no, never with an S.
Lego.
It's never Legos. Lego, the plural of Lego is Lego.
I don't know about that.
Yes, officially.
So if you got a crap load of Lego.
Yes.
I don't believe in that.
Really?
Yeah.
The plural of Lego is Lego?
Yes, I believe so. I'm just going to claim it. I'm just going to say it's true.
By the way, fantastic documentary, the brickumentary.
Yeah.
The brickumentary, that was.
All right. Well, back to the question.
Oh, it's good. It's in my queue.
Yes, okay, watch cool. It. You'll really enjoy it. I'm not even a giant Lego fan, and I really enjoyed it. All right.
You're not a giant Lego fan, really?
Well, like, I don't know. I didn't grow up really as a big Lego fan. My parents probably were just like, that's.
Your parents like their feet.
Yes, exactly. My son's really into it, so I get it now. And I do it now for like stress relief. I'm like building an Ecto-1, you know, because I'm like, be quiet, I'm building. I'm like the guy at the end of the Lego movie, like the Lord Business when it's really Will Ferrell. I'm like, don't touch it. It's going to break. That's how I am now with Legos. Lego, excuse me.
I think one of the great parts of being an adult is being able to buy as many Legos as you want.
Yeah.
As many Lego as you want.
Lego, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Okay.
All right, let's go to the question. All right, this came in from Kristen Rice. This one's kind of long, just to fair warn you, Lynn. I need advice on the best way to Lynn Testa a reservation. We are a party of 10, and we have to dine at Trattoria Al Forno for my birthday dinner on a Sunday night in October. The website lets me book a party of 4 and a party of 6 with 10 minutes in between. There's no availability for a party of 10 for any time between our 5 to 10. Since this is a family gathering, booking separate ADRs and possibly sitting apart would defeat the purpose. So do you think I could book the ADRs for 8 people, show up a little early, and nicely tell them that we actually have 10? We will be able to have 6 adults and kids aged 4, 8, 11, and 13. On a related note, all right, well, let's start there. Let's stop there and say,
okay.
Yeah,
so first thing, I like the idea of arriving there early. I wouldn't actually change your reservations because you may not get anything similar.
Yep.
So just, you know, show up. You know, whenever it opens, let's say at 5 o'clock or whatever, and say, hey, in a couple hours, I'm going to be here and I've got these 2 reservations, but I need them together because we're a party of 10. And they'll do the very best that they can to get you guys together.
Cool. All right. So hopefully that helps out. This person also said on a related note, we already have an ADR for 5:30 at Ohana since that was originally my first choice. We are staying at, what is BWV? Which one is that?
Boardwalk Villas.
Sorry, the V threw me off. And plan on spending all day at the studios. We figured that Ohana would be doable, but something on the boardwalk would be more convenient since we won't have a car. None of us have eaten at Al Forno, but we did enjoy Ohana last trip. Now with the price increase and 2 kids, Ohana is going to be quite pricey, even with our Tables of Wonderland card. We are all like Italian, though, so it sounds like it'd be right up our alley. So if I guess it's just a choice, Ohana or Trattoria.
I liked the Trattoria when I was there last. You know, Mike Scopa, not a big fan of it, but Mike Scopa is hardcore Italian, whereas I am more
Disney World Italian.
I'm more open. Yeah, I mean, my grandparents are, you know, all Italian, but yeah. More open minded.
Your grandparents are a quarter Disney.
Exactly. I thought it was good.
I'd do Ohana if you can. It's just like there's 2 much better Italian restaurants in Italy. At Epcot.
In fake Italy.
In fake Italy.
Okay.
Fiddly.
I have not been there. I've been to Ohana a couple times. The last time I went, not breakfast, I went for dinner. It was okay. It kind of was. I think it's kind of hit or miss.
Are they at the studios? Is that where they're at during the day?
It's so crowded. Yeah, just the wait to even just get seated is tough.
But they're at the studios during the day. Yeah. Why don't they go to, speaking of another Italian place, Universal
Studios? Mama Melrose.
I like Mama Melrose better than the one at the boardwalk myself.
What?
I can't say. I can't tell. I've been to Mama Melrose, but I
seriously,
can't
I love the calamari there. They have a great chicken parm.
We're just gonna leave it at that.
Okay. All right. All right.
You're wrong, but moving on.
Maybe I had a bad.
No. Let's be diplomatic. That's one way of looking at it.
Maybe I had a bad experience and was so upset that Cat Cora left.
That's it.
You know, so,
again, another place I had a good experience and like a rough experience. So, all right, moving on.
Josh wants to know question. There's an exclamation point.
That's a short one. I like it.
Victoria and Albert's ... Queen Victoria room or normal room or chef's table.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I like to annoy
people. You like hate mail.
I do. I'm sorry.
All right. So
I'm
Queen Victoria room, normal room, or chef's table?
So chef's table if you can get it. Yeah, if you can afford it. Yeah. And if you can, let me know the date on which you've got that reservation. And yeah, we'll all come. The Queen Victoria room I've also done. I liked it quite a bit. Exact same level of service. Obviously a slightly different setting, but same food. Excellent service. I've never actually done the main dining room at Victorian Albert's.
I've never gone.
I've never gone either.
Yep, so,
Lynn, I feel like you should take us.
I will not be doing that with my.
I feel like touring plans should take us to Victorian.
Next time we're all in town, and we can get a reservation. Bring your jackets, boys.
All right, we will. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. And special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. That's offkilter.net. If you don't know yet, find out. They're coming with us to the Dayless Brunches Festival. A little under 2 months away, guys. Buy your tickets now. Join us and a great group of bands. It's going to be an awesome time. That's at dlpfest.com. Also, special thanks to Circa 1955. Awesome people. Get their candles. Circa1955.com. Smell your house up.
And thank you to you guys, the WDW Today family, as you heard in last week's show.
The universe.
like
WWE would say.
You guys helped us launch Top of the World, the DVC podcast. Yeah. And I'll be honest, we were expecting it to be cool.
Yeah.
We weren't expecting you guys to blow us out of the water. We quickly shot to the number one podcast in travel.
It was the number one podcast for a couple days, at least.
A couple of days. It was the last time I looked, it was still number two. And that's nuts. So humbled by it. You guys have sent hundreds of messages in the past few days through Twitter and Facebook. So grateful to you guys. If you haven't listened, you can go to the DVC podcast. And if you're a DVCer, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get your questions. And we just thank you guys for supporting the stuff that we're creating for you guys.
Yeah, and that's Terry's show. It's part of our little Laugh-O-Gram Studios family. And we're excited to have it on board. That's the Top of the World podcast. It launched last week and has done really well. When I'm looking at it right now, Terry, you're still in the top. You're number six. You slipped to number six, which is still unreal.
Have the Scottish golfers beat us?
They've dropped out. They're gone. Yeah. It's now it's you and you. You're in some friendly company. Let's just say that. And some good people, and also some of those top ones. So it's awesome. Top of the World. It's available now. A new episode will be coming up next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Yeah.
And a quick plug: if you want to listen to some other podcasts, these are just quickly ones. We do have a couple others. We have my podcast, Scare Zone, Halloween Horror Nights podcast. We have a great interview coming up this coming week. We'll release next Tuesday with a guy who's been Ted in the Bill and Ted show for the last like 8 years. Hilarious, awesome time. And also Will's podcast. If you're into whiskey or you're interested in diving into the world of bourbon, I know it's odd and different for maybe us promoting here, but we've seen a lot of crossover, a lot of people that are interested in it. Search for his podcast. It's The Podcast with a K. Podcast with a K. You can find it there. And I download that. Usually, if you look at what other people are listening to on our feed, often on iTunes, you'll see all of our shows. So it's awesome to have you guys together. And of course, special thanks to our presenting sponsors. I lose my voice. Off to Neverland Travel. Go to their website, gotoneverland.com. And as Will likes to say, all you got to do. What, Terry?
Well, let me say it.
Okay, fine. As Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
And get with one of their magic makers. Go to neverland.com. That's going to do it for this week. We will talk to you. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Terry Weaver.
There's other two people. We'll talk to you on the next show.
The sun is shining down on the green fields of France. The warm winds blow gently the red poppies dance. The trenches, they have vanished long under the plough.